Griffith ap Cynan was born in 1055. He died around 1137. And for around 40 years, he was the king of Gwynedd, which is an important Welsh kingdom in North Wales. Griffith was a very important Welsh ruler, though not many people are aware of him today. He's not really a household name, but one reason he's very important is that his life and career tell us an awful lot about Wales's relationship with the Viking world. And I think we're very often presented with a very kind of English-centred view of Welsh history, where the relationship between Wales and England is always the one that takes centre stage. But it's important to remember that Wales is a westward-facing peninsula. It's got a very mountainous interior. To this day, hampers communications to the north and south. And this would have been made worse by widespread forests in the medieval times. There weren't any bridges. And also, it was a very politically fragmented place. So you had lots of warring kingdoms within Wales. So Wales was at the time of Griffith ap Cynan, was a patchwork of competing native kingdoms, all vying with each other for power and territory. And the one unifying feature in Wales, if you like, was actually the sea that surrounds Wales. And many of the early Welsh kingdoms, therefore, had very westward-looking seaborne contacts and interactions, which were both peaceful and violent, with Ireland as much as with England. And in Ireland, we are talking as well about the Viking world. So I'll say a bit about the Vikings, in case you're not sure who I'm talking about. The Vikings first came to the Irish Sea from Scandinavia in small seaborne raiding bands at the end of the 8th century. And over the course of the 9th and 10th centuries, they established significant power bases and settled in locations right across the Irish Sea region. So they settled in northern Scotland and the Orkneys. They settled in the Isle of Man. They settled in the Western Isles of Scotland. So they're all over, if you like, the Irish Sea region and indeed in Western England, in Cumbria. They also settle in coastland areas of Ireland as well. And these Viking settlers soon become very tied up with local politics. They form alliances with local rulers in Ireland and other places. They intermarry with local leaders and they also adopt Christianity as well. But they still retain a very distinctive identity, which they signal through very distinctive culture and the things that they use, and also their language and their very much their warrior outlook as well. Now, by the middle of the 10th century, they'd also established a number of very vibrant and bustling ports, such as Dublin on the east coast of Ireland, where you could hire mercenaries and where you could sell goods, which could be redistributed out right across the Viking world, and that stretched right over to Iceland, back to Norway, and even as far as Greenland.